Isaiah chapter 28. If you found your place this morning, you're physically able, I'll ask you if you would please stand to your feet for the reading of the Word of God. Isaiah chapter 28. I want you to look with me in verse number 14. The Bible says, "Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, ye scornful men that rule this people which is in Jerusalem. Because you have said, we have made a covenant with death, and with hell are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us, for we may have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste." I believe the church will say amen. "Judgment also will I lay to the lion, and righteousness to the plummet, and the hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place. And your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then ye shall be trodden down by it. From the time that it goeth forth, it shall take you. From morning by morning shall it pass over, by day and by night, and it shall be a vexation only to understand the report. For the bed is shorter than that a man can stretch himself on it, and the covering narrower than that he can wrap himself in it. For the Lord shall rise up as in a mount of Perazim. He shall be wroth as in the valley of Gibeon, that he may do his work, his strange work, and bring to pass his act, his strange act. Now therefore be ye not mockers, lest your band be made strong. For I have heard from the Lord God of hosts a consumption even determined upon the whole earth." Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you for this day. And God, I thank you yet for this another opportunity to be in your house. And Lord, I realize this morning we've gathered here to worship you. And God, we've gathered here to lift up your name. And Lord, I believe you ought to be praised this morning, holy. God, because you've been so good to us. And Lord, you saved our souls from unworthy hell. And God, we came to this place this morning to try and share the bread of life to your children. And Lord, I realize I can't do this by myself, and Lord, I realize I can't preach without your touch this morning, and God, I realize this morning that I'm weak, and God, but I realize you're strong, and Lord, I pray for your touch, God, I pray for your voice, and God, I pray for your conviction upon this message, God, that we'd preach with clarity what thus saith the Lord, and God, these people need you this morning, and Lord, there's some that's going to die and go to hell without being saved, and Lord, I pray, Lord, that you bring conviction upon that heart. And God, I pray that you'd speak through us what thus saith the Lord. And God, we'll be ever grateful and give you praise and honor and glory. In Jesus' precious name we pray. And all of God's children said, amen. You may be seated. Isaiah chapter 28 is a very interesting part of Scripture as the prophet Isaiah is hearing from the Lord. You'll find out in the early part of Isaiah chapter number 28 that the people had turned away from God. They had came to a place that they were full of pride and full of the thoughts of this life, and their fields had been plenteous and their harvest had been great, and rather given what God's honor was due, they took it upon themselves that they was that good. We find another error in there other than pride itself is we find that they were getting drunken. And they were drunkards during this day and age. I don't know about you this morning, but I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I'm not going to try to help you out. But America is full of alcohol. It's full of sin. It's full of pride. And everywhere you go, you got to deal with the drunkards. You say, "Preacher, I understand that Paul told Timothy, for take a little wine for the stomach's sake." Let me say this and help you this morning before we go too deep. There's a difference this morning in the medications that we use and what they had during that day and age. Amen? I'll be honest with you. Our young people are getting swept up in the scene of alcoholism this morning. And all of them, everyone you ask, they've not got a problem. They are okay. They're all right. But let me tell you, God is displeased with drunkenness. Boy, don't dry up on me now. Isaiah chapter 28, you'll see that this morning. You'll see that God was bringing judgment upon the people. Isaiah began to teach us in chapter 28 and verse number 14. He says, hear what God has got to say. He points out their issue. He points out their problem. Might I tell you this morning, if a preacher is running out with God, he'll point out your problem. I've had people come to me, and I might have some after this message, God help this morning, but I've had some that's came to me and said, preacher, did you know I was doing it? Absolutely not. I don't know about you, but if you'll preach what God has to say, it'll bring conviction upon people. Isaiah was bringing conviction upon the children of Judah. He began to preach to them what thus saith the Lord. And he says this. Notice with me in verse number 15. He said, because ye have said, we have made a covenant with death. I like what he says in verse 14. He calls them scornful men. Now, I got interested on that thought. That's what really brought my mind to this selection. But I got hung up on verse 14 when he calls them a scornful man. Let me help you real quickly. To be a scornful man to means being defiant and disregard of God. Boy, I don't know about you, but we're living in defiant days. And I don't know about you, but we're living in disregarding of God's Word's days. I want to preach to you real quick this morning. I want to get some ground foundation laid, and I want to help you this morning. If it's a sin in this book, it's still a sin in God's eyes. How many of you would agree with me this morning? This Word of God is a perfect, infallible truth from God's throne. It's forever settled, as the psalmist records. It's settled in heaven. It's settled in earth. Hey, I'm telling you something this morning. This book is what's going to judge you and I. And I'm going to be honest with you. I like what John said. He said that if he wrote all the works of Christ, that the world itself cannot contain the books that are written therein. And I find in Isaiah chapter 28, one of the favorite pieces of Scripture that Isaiah writes, he said we must take it line upon line and precept upon precept. And let me say this to you this morning. It's the infallible, perfect Word of God this morning. We don't need updating. We don't need changing. We just need preaching from the Word of God. And Isaiah came down to verse number 15. He said, we've made an agreement with death. You know what scares me this morning? Is people think they are invincible. I ask every one of you this morning, how would you want to die? Some of you say, I'd want to die in my bed, snuggled up to my wife, and go out peaceful in your sleep. Let me tell you something this morning. You ain't going to choose how you die. Your time is already appointed. You know what? Some of your time may be before the day's over. You don't know when you're going to die. These people of Judah said, we made an agreement with death. We said we can call him when we want him to come get us. We can call him when we want to die. Let me help you real quick this morning. Is God knows when everybody's going to die. You know what I find interesting? The book of Hebrews says this, and as it is appointed once unto men to die. Let me read it quickly. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this, the judgment. Now we're going to settle some things, what Isaiah is trying to help these people with. He said, I want you to know something. He said, you're not going to choose when you die, how you die, or when it's going to happen. And until we get a realization this morning that we're going to die, I don't care if you're 14, I don't care if you're 9, I don't care if you're 75. This flesh is going to go back to the dust. The only hope that you and I have is that Christ steps out of those eastern skies and calls the church home. And then something miraculous is going to happen, as this mortal must put on immortality and this corruption must put on incorruption. And we which are alive shall be caught up together in the air, so shall we ever be. I find it interesting this morning that people have got so slack when it comes to dying. It's going to happen. You cannot stop it. It is inevitable. You know, there's two sure things in this life. You're going to pay taxes until the day you die. And Uncle Sam is going to get everything back out of you he can. Those are true. I know we don't like talking about it, and we're going to go on real quickly. But let me say this. There are two types of death in Scripture. There's the death of the ungodly. There's the death of the righteous. And this morning, how you can die gracefully. You can die with God by your side. Or you can die. Have you ever heard them old wise tales that they say are wise? People say, my legs are in the fire. My feet's in the fire. You know what's getting ready to happen? They're getting ready to change out from this realm to a spiritual realm. And the people of Judah at this time, during Isaiah's day and age, they said, we've made an agreement with it. Let me help you real quickly. It was because of Adam's sin that we're all going to die. You know what bothers me this morning is reading the newspaper and reading the obituaries. I'm going to be honest with you, I have to keep up by reading the obituaries. I wonder why old folks always read the obituaries. And so you can see who died, who didn't die. And half of you are still looking to see if you're in there. Amen? But death is certain. Death is certain. And they said, we've made an agreement with it. Let me give you some help right here real quickly. In verse number 28, Hebrews 9, 27, 28, says, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of men, and unto them that look for Him shall He appear the second time without sin unto salvation. Romans 6 and 23 says this, for the wages of sin is death. Now, it doesn't stop there, but we're going to stop right there for right now. For the wages of sin is death. Do you realize this morning that you were born in sin? David was conceived in sin in his mother's womb. You and I this morning are born with a sinful nature in ourselves. We are born in that sinful reflection. You don't have to teach your child to lie. It just comes out. You don't have to teach somebody to take what's not theirs. It just naturally happens. And you know what's amazing to me in this day and age is we've got people that still deny because they're so self-righteous that they won't even see the fault in their own eyes. And I'm going to be honest with you this morning. I agree with Paul. Paul said, I'm the chief among sinners. He said, I am the greatest sinner you've ever seen. And Paul took it so serious that he had scourged and he had killed and he had been part of the persecution of the church in the gospel of, or the book of Acts, that Paul was so guilty of the sins he committed. But let me tell you this real quick. It's not really about what you do and what you don't do, because Adam brought sin upon mankind. Boy, it sure would have been a good life if Adam had refused the fruit. Now, I know what some of you are thinking this morning. You've been up in Grandma and Grandpa's education. And we always look and we say it was Eve's fault. Amen? Y'all ever heard that? I'm going to tell you, you go over and you start reading about Peter. It wasn't Eve who committed the transgress. Eve was deceived and beguiled. Adam made a choice to be with Eve or be with God. You know what I really think happened? We're going somewhere. I promise you. I'm not going to keep you past 3 o'clock. I promise. But you know what I think our issue is? Is we don't accept that God's holy and we're filthy. And Adam chose this sin. You know what Adam done? He looked at God and he realized that her eyes had been opened. He realized that she knew the difference between good and evil. And he looked at that and he knew that she was wrong. And Adam said, God, I'll take her. God, I'll take her. You say, preacher, there ain't no absolute way. Adam knew better. He was God's creation. He was made in the very image of God. He was created from the dust of the earth. Eve was created from the rib in his side. Now, I'm going somewhere with this, but Adam loved Eve. That was his wife. That was his spouse. That was his counterpart. That was the one that he wanted to spend his life with. That was the one that he wanted to bear his children. And Eve loved her, or loved him, and he loved her. And Adam said, I'll take her. Now let me help you something this morning, men. We're the reason we're in the shape we're in today. Y'all gonna like me for about the next 5 minutes. You want me to tell you why America's in the shape it's in? It's because of the men. Boy, we like to get harping on these women that wear pants and run their household, and we like to hear preachers preach about that, and then you go back home and you sleep on the bedboard because you're so henpecked you can't get into bed. Women, y'all ought to shout with me this morning. You know why our nation's capital's in the shape it's in? It's not because of the women folk. It's because of the men folk. You know sometimes why our children run amok and they're doing things and they're acting and they're doing this and that? It's because mama says, you just wait till your daddy gets home and daddy won't do nothing. Am I all right? We good right there? You know what needs to happen in this world? There ought to be some men that get right with God. They get concerned about their children. They get concerned about their nation. They get concerned about their home. And get concerned about their church. And you say, preacher, have them Southern Baptists, the women, run the church. It's because the men are too sorry to do what's right. Amen. And if the men ain't going to do it, somebody's got to. Boy, y'all drying up quick. We got to hurry. I didn't even have that one in the notes. That's a freebie. You want me to tell you this morning? It is absolutely filthy, the world we live in. You'll agree with that. We live with a group that they made an agreement with death. They think that they can get salvation when they so choose. They think that they can die when they so choose. Some people believe this morning, I'm going to wait till the very moment before I leave out into eternity before I get saved. Let me help you. You may not have that moment before you leave out from here. You may be in an accident and the only thing that's going through your body is the pain and trying to get help that you totally forget about trusting Christ as your Savior. And Isaiah seen that in these people. He said, you're ignorant for what you're doing. He said, but what's even more ignorant is you've made an agreement with hell. There's some folks in this world, they honestly believe, these churches within 10 miles of here that are teaching, if you go to hell, you'll burn up. It ain't for all eternity. Let me help you real quickly. That rich man in Luke chapter number 16, he's still there. Y'all right? That thief on the cross, Tommy, he's still there. You say, well, preacher, there's just no physical way that this could possibly be. If I have the mind that I have now and I have the nerves and the sensation of this body, that it would last in all eternity. Hey, I'm going to tell you, the book of Mark recorded this. He said, it's a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth where the worm dieth not. You know what I'm afraid is happening in the church houses across this nation? We quit preaching on hell. We've quit telling people hell's real. We've quit telling people that if you don't get saved and you don't get born again, you're going to spend eternity in hell. You say, preacher, there's such a crowd here this morning. Why would you preach such as that? Because I don't want to see every one of you stand before God and be cast into the lake of fire. You see this morning, that rich man, he's still in hell. He's still being tormented in this flame. There's not a doubt in my mind that he's still there. But what's even worse is his brothers and his family may be there this morning. You say, preacher, this makes me uncomfortable. It ought to. It ought to. You are not going to make an agreement with hell. You're not going to miss it. You're not going to wait till you die and you stand before God and you work this out. Let me help you real quickly. You either get right now or you'll never get right. Y'all all right? All right. Some of your eyelids look like you got duct tape strapped them to the back of your neck this morning. It's real. Our church people need to know that hell is real. Boy, we like to go over to the book of Revelation, chapter number 21, and preach how sweet heaven is. Or sing those songs, how beautiful heaven must be. But let me tell you, hell is an awful, awful place. And they are young people, they are middle-aged people, they are senior adult people that will die and go to hell if we do not proclaim the Word of God. Every opportunity that you stand and preach, preach Jesus. Every opportunity you go out and you visit, tell them about Jesus. Everything that you do ought to be about Jesus. You say, preacher, I need to get the people dressing right. I need to get the people acting right. Let God do His work. I find it interesting this morning as we've came into Isaiah chapter 28, verse number 15. He said, we've made an agreement with hell. But he comes down to verse number 16, and this is what the Lord says. He said, therefore, thus saith the Lord God. You know what I like? I like when God starts taking over. You know what I like about right now? God's moving. I got great liberty. I feel pretty good. I feel like somebody here needs to hear what I got to say. And I hear like somebody, I feel like in my heart this morning God's moving through the aisles and God's touching somebody's heart because you thought everything was all right. You thought everything was okay. You thought that you could work it out on your time. Hey, I'm telling you something this morning. Until you get a hold of verse number 16, you'll not have anything. Amen. Notice what he says. He says, therefore, thus saith the Lord God, behold, I lay in Zion for a foundation of stone. Boy, you know what I find interesting right there? He's talking about something unmovable. You know what I like right there, Brother Reggie? Is this is thousands of years before Christ ever came on the scene. And he's talking about a stone. He's talking about the chief cornerstone. He's talking about the precious stone. He's talking about a tried stone. And he's telling them, he said, you've made your agreements. He said, but let God tell you what he has to say. He says, I lay in Zion for a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, a sure foundation. He that believeth shall not make haste. He said, I'm laying a stone out before you. You can build all your hopes. You can build all your dreams. He said, you can build your future upon it. He said, you can build your house upon it. He said, you can build your church upon it. He said, you can build your nation upon it. He said, this is a stone that'll last throughout the ages. He said, it's a stone. Hey, that's unmovable. He said, it's a firm foundation. Hallelujah. I'm glad this morning I can shout the victory and say, how firm a foundation upon we stand. And I'm glad I'm founded upon this solid rock. And though Satan rages and the storm buffets, I'm glad it's unmovable. I'm glad it ain't cracked. I'm glad it's still standing sure and that people are still building upon that stone. Amen. He says it's a precious stone. You know what Isaiah couldn't get a hold of? God wasn't talking about a physical rock, but he was talking about his only begotten son. Did y'all get that? His only begotten son. You know what? You and I this morning, we're sons of God through adoption, through the Spirit of grace. And Isaiah comes out and he boldly says, you know what I like about this? If you look in verse number 18 this morning, he tells the people this. And he said, in your covenant with death shall be disannulled. You know what he done? He said, what you think's right, what you thought's right, it's wrong. Did y'all get a hold of that? It's wrong. You know what? This morning, these church people don't like being told you're wrong. You know what I like about me, and some of y'all like about me, is I preach what God says and let Him take care of the rest. You get mad, you move on, you're going to still have a problem with God. You ain't got a problem with Brother Josh. You ain't got a problem with Brother Kevin or Brother Troy or Brother Joe or any of these preachers, Brother Edgy preaches. You ain't got a problem with them if they preach the Word of God and it's right. You got a problem with God. And you know what he was telling? You know what those people, they said, we got it all figured out. And God said, you ain't got nothing figured out. He said, you ain't got anything figured out. He said, because I lay a stone. He said, I'm going to give my son on Calvary. Amen. And he says, your agreement with death, it's disannulled. He said, your agreement with hell ain't any good. You see, during the Old Testament times, they believed in their works and their sacrifices to get them into heaven. But Brother Tommy, it's much like this. They would go into the most holy place. You got the Holy of Holies and the most holy place. And they would offer that sacrifice of that lamb or that pigeon or that dove or that goat or that bullock. And they would take that blood and offer it for the atonement. But all that simply was doing, my friend, was lifting up the rug and sweeping the sins under there. You just couldn't see them anymore, but they were still there. I'm glad when that throne came through and the stone was set as a foundation for the world. My sins were washed away, white as snow, and saved. They some teach a doctrine that you get saved and you get baptized, and then after so long you get the Holy Spirit. I'm glad this morning when you trust Him as your Lord and Savior. Whew. You don't have to wait on Him to give you the Spirit. May I ask you say, preacher, well, the Bible says that if you get saved and you're baptized, you'll go to heaven. What about if you don't ever get baptized? Let me ask you something. Jesus hanging on the cross of Calvary, arms stretched forward, feet are crossed, spikes through Him, suffering. Brother Tommy, his back was ripped. There wasn't a bone broken in his body, but his back was ripped open. And as he was hanging there and suffering in anguish for you and I, there was one thief mocking him and making fun of him. And the other thief cried out. And he said, this man has done nothing amiss. We receive our due reward. And he looked at Jesus and he said, rememberest me when thou comest into thy kingdom. I'm going to help you right here. Just hold on. I think Jesus didn't take time to take that man off the cross and take him down to Jordan and sink him in the water. Hey, but I believe in my heart when he said, Lord, he accepted him into his heart. He accepted that Christ was the only begotten of God. He accepted that his agreement with death was no good. He accepted that he couldn't get out of hell by his words. And he said, Lord, rememberest me when thou comest thy kingdom. And you know what I like? Jesus didn't have to look around and say, well, let's count up and see what you've done. See if y'all weigh your measuring here. But you know what? I like what He done in His suffering, in His pain, in His agony. He looked over at that thief and he said, today thou shalt be with me in paradise. You know what I'm glad of this morning is if you call out on Him and you believe that He is the only begotten Son of God and you confess your faults and confess your things that are before you and your Adam's sin and accept that Christ is greater than you and invite Him into your heart, I'm glad you can leave this place. And if tomorrow never comes, you'll be in paradise with Him. That's good, ain't it? But I like this. We got places we got to go. We got to hurry. Proverbs 1 and 2 says this. Every way of a man is right in his own eyes. We live in a day and age when everybody thinks they've got the best way. You believe that? We live in a day and age when everybody thinks that their decisions are the right. You know what? This morning, I'm going to say this to you. I'm going to help you out right here real quick. Donald Trump believes he's got the answer for America. You know why he's so appealing to everybody here? It's because he speaks what the rest of you and I are thinking. That's what he appeals to people for. He's just forward with his mouth. In his eyes, he's got the right. Ted Cruz, in his eyes, he thinks he's got the right way for America. And Hillary Clinton, she thinks she's got the right way. I'm going to help y'all. Well, Bernie Sanders, he thinks he's got the right way. You know, I'm just going to say this. That old man's got a lot of fight left in him, don't he? Y'all agree with that? He's taking on one wicked woman. I'm just going to be honest with you. He got a lot of fight in him. That one's free. I got y'all to smile and tune back in with me. But I'm going to say this. I'm going to help you. There ain't but one right way for America, and that's through God. You say, preacher, who in the world do I vote for? I hope you pray. You pray for the one that holds your convictions closest. I hope you look at what their beliefs is and where their stand is. And I hope you're praying and seek God's face. I'm going to be honest with you. I'm not going to tell you how to vote. I ain't going to tell you what to vote or how to vote or what to vote on. I'm going to be honest with you. I took Brooklyn in that voting poll booth, Brother O.T., and they were some of them people I ain't never heard for in my life. I seen a picture a while back that had all these presidential candidates, Brother Tommy, and had all these other signs at the end of the road, and right in the middle it said straw. And the fella put on his picture. He said, "I'm voting for straw, pine straw." Had all of them. There was some stuff on that. I didn't have a clue what it was about. You know what I done? I said, "Brooklyn, it's time for you to vote. Which one do you pick?" And she'd go, I said, "Sounds good to me." You say, "Preacher, you'd write anything down?" Absolutely not. The only thing I voted on was what I knew about. That's right. And that's okay. That's okay. If the only thing that you know to vote about is a presidential election, get to the polls and vote. Right. You say, "Preacher, we're in bad shape." You're right, we're in bad shape. But I can tell you, there's hope. There is hope. You say, "Preacher, how do you know that?" Notice what he says. He said, "Your covenant with death shall be disannulled, and your agreement with hell shall not stand. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, then you shall be trodden down by it." Can I tell you this morning? When you stand before God, saved or lost, you're going to stand before God. You're not getting away from it. You're not getting out of it. And let me say this. When you get there, you're not going to work everything out. The books are done. It's finished. You say, "Preacher, well, what if all this is not true? What have you lost?" But you know what? I know it's true because I feel Him.
Amen.
I feel Him. I've seen those who've left this world in the grace of God. I've seen those that you have to stand before the family, before the coffin, and you have to look at them eyeball to eyeball and say this: God loves you. And if so-and-so could come back, they would tell you to trust Jesus as their Savior. So, preacher, how do you know that? Luke chapter 16. He said, "Send Moses or Elijah, one of those men, to go back and tell my family about this awful place." You know what Father Abraham told him? He said, "They had the prophets. They will not hear them. They will not believe one who came back from the dead." You know what's amazing to me this morning? They've searched and searched for Jesus, but they ain't found Him. He came back from the dead. His impact upon this earth has been greater than it's ever been in our eyes. Amen. And all they've got to do is look up. You say, "Preacher, this is about as crazy as it gets." It's your choice. You've got a choice to make. You can trust in yours. John chapter 14. He said, "I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father, but by me." The only way that you're going to escape hell is through Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I want you to notice this. He said, "Death and hell are disannulled." 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 55 says this: "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ."
Amen.
You can trust Him whatever you want to this morning. I trust Jesus.
Amen.
You can put your hope in America. You can put your hope in any political party that you so choose. But the only hope for you and I this morning is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
I was going to go to the book of Luke and read about the days of Noah and days of Lot. I was going to go through that. I was going to go through John chapter number 3 this morning, but I feel this is sufficient. I'm going to ask Miss Jody to come with a hymn of invitation. I want you to get a hold of this. Who are you agreeing with? Who are you agreeing with? I'll agree with God and Jesus.